Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Leo is back from vacation and we are...
I love him.
We're going to take a look at all of his photos, and I'm going to pretend they're my photos and frame them and put them on my wall.
And I'm going to show you a new video editor you can make great movies with. Yeah, even better than iMovie.
Plus, if you want your own personal Twit network, we have a fan who created an app just for you.
Oh, I love this app. It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Try it free for 14 days at texture.com/twit. It's the early morning edition of iOS Today. Hello, I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney drinking my fake coffee.
We need coffee. So just a little programming note. I know a lot of you don't care what time we tape this at, but if you do like to watch live, we've moved the show, and that's why you're getting the show a day late in your feed. We've moved the show from Mondays to Tuesdays, and we've moved it to 9 a.m. roughly. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time. That would be 1600. Yeah, I think so.
I can't do math.
1600 UTC, 16 or 1700, 1600 UTC. It's now a different time, but the same show. I guess it means though, because we won't be starting a day earlier, you won't get it until a day later.
But
on
now,
your feeds.
Yeah, only yesterday would you be missing out. But hopefully, that gave you time to catch up on all past episodes.
Yeah, you had a whole day to listen.
All 350 episodes.
We won't be back next week.
No, I know. Well, part of what I was excited about is now we're not going to miss all those Monday holidays, but then our second week is Fourth of July.
But so. this is a one shot. Mm-hmm. There's no other, as far as I know, Tuesday holidays on the books.
Right. So if you haven't watched every second of every 350 episodes, you have another week to catch up.
And then, starting July 11th, every Tuesday for all eternity, except for Christmas and,
you know.
9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and 1600 UTC. Hello, Megan.
Hello,
I missed
Leo.
You, but thanks. You had great, Jason Snell filled in for me, right? Did a great job.
And Nathan Olivares-Giles.
And OG,
also.
Nog.
Yes, they were both great. And now you're back with all of your photos. And they are, they're so professional looking. I wasn't joking. Like, I really do want to frame them and put them on my wall. It's kind of weird because I wasn't there on the vacation with you, but how did you do it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I not only came back with them, I came back with a new iPad.
Oh.
And I was gone. I left the day Apple did its event. Somebody sent an email to the company, not realizing that I'm the company, saying, you should never let Leo take a day off during an Apple event. Because how is he going to cover the Apple event? Well, Apple doesn't tell you till a week ahead of time, mm-hmm. So we didn't know. This may happen again in September. I have another vacation in September. That's going to be the Apple event that everybody's going to be interested in because it's the iPhone. The new iPhone will be announced probably, likely, in September. In any event, they announced it June 5th. I was on an airplane, couldn't do anything because we didn't have Wi-Fi. So when the airplane landed in Miami, I quickly fired up my phone. And said, what did Apple announce? And I saw they announced, finally, the 10.5-inch iPad. And I have a theory on why they didn't announce it till now. I'll explain that. And I ordered it. And you know what? Apple has made it too easy to buy. Because before I was off the plane, I had purchased the new 10.5-inch iPad. And you played with it last week, I know.
I did, yeah. Well, you told me I could unbox it. And then they wanted to have a review on the screensavers.
That's
and I was
fine.
A little scared because I was like, well, he just said unbox. Can
That's
I actually
fine.
Turn it on?
Yes, you can turn it on. Yes, and you were very kind. You wiped it after you used it.
I did.
You wiped it off and you wiped it dry.
I did, yes.
And which is good because I think you have a cold. So
yeah, that was a couple weeks ago now. I didn't have that cold
you
then.
I sterilized it. So I have to say now, I've had it for a couple of weeks because we got back on the 18th. This thing is better than I expected. And, you know, every time a new – and we're going to get you one too. I know you're feeling a little left out mm-hmm. with your old
iPad.
Well,
you said you thought I needed the new 12-point whatever
inch. Oh, you want the 12.9?
No. I am fine with this.
Okay. I actually think this is the sweet spot.
Okay.
So we both have a 12.9, and it just was a little too big. It was like a pizza box. Mm-hmm. But what I like about 10.5 inches is it's roughly the same size as the last 9-inch MacBook. iPad Pro.
Should we hold them up together?
Yeah, why don't you? Let's see how close it is. I did buy a new keyboard because it doesn't quite fit the keyboard. Let's see here. But it's, so it's just, if you put it this way, you could see it's just ever so slightly bigger. And you can use the old keyboard, but it'll you know, it'll stick out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. The iPad will stick out a little bit. Which one is yours? Do you know?
That one with the sticker on it.
Yeah, that's why I put the sticker on it.
But the bezels, too, are...
That's where you see the difference. Mm-hmm. The bezel is smaller on this side. Yeah. And so that means you get a little bit bigger screen. That is not why you might want this iPad. And I have to say, this is always a problem Apple has, which is the old iPads are so good. I'm going to spin it this way. They were so good that you don't really say, oh, I need the new iPad. You might say that with a phone, but they've done enough with this new iPad, frankly, that I think this is a major upgrade, and you don't see it all. So, of course, and you mentioned this all, it's got the new iPhone 7 camera. First iPad with a decent camera. It's about time. Although, please, folks, don't do this when you're taking pictures. And yet, I think this is such a big viewfinder that when you're taking... when you're shooting video or taking a picture, it's really nice to see what that picture is going to look like at a real size. But more of the improvements are under the hood. And the screen is the best screen Apple's ever made. It's doing this 120 hertz refresh, which means it's the smoothest scrolling ever. Plus, the processor is so fast. Both of these are really kind of unnecessary. And this is the problem Apple has. Everybody says, well, I don't feel like my iPad's slow. It also has a very accurate, even more accurate screen. And frankly, when you put it side by side, probably not with your iPad Pro, but with older iPad Airs, it really is noticeable. I put it next to my iPad Mini. It's noticeably better. I mean, the colors are deeper and richer. So this, and Renee Ritchie was the one who pointed this out last week on MacBreak Weekly. This is more about what iPad's going to become than what iPad is today. You have iOS 11, I know, on your other iPad. I haven't played with it yet, but that's going to add some computing-style features to it. But also, the AR kit, the augmented reality kit, there's a lot of power, there's a better camera, there's a better screen, and I think a lot of that is because Apple thinks this is going to become an augmented reality device, that you're going to use it like IKEA has already created a product. I know you talked about all this last week, but I just wanted to give you my 2 cents. IKEA's got a product where you aim at your room and you can see IKEA furniture and you can move it around. That's augmented reality, and it really does it beautifully. We've seen it kind of in a simple way earlier iPads. I think this is a very big upgrade in ways that aren't obvious yet, but will become more obvious in the fall.
What do you think about the ProMotion display? ProMotion, is that like noticeably different? Like,
yeah. Well, I don't use the pencil, but if you're a pencil user, you'll notice it because the drawing is so much smoother. I notice it in scrolling. So if I'm on a website and I'm scrolling through there's just a smoothness, which you probably can't see if you're watching at home on our video, that it's palpable. And I think that also has to do with augmented reality. I think so the way ProMotion works is normally this is like your iPad 60 frames a second refreshing at 60 hertz. But as needed and always when you touch the pencil to it, it switches to 120 hertz. And in fact, it can even do 60 on part of the screen and 120 on other parts. And the reason they do that is so that the drawing is smoother, but also it smooths out scrolling. So I think... in many ways. And the reason I bring that up, because we're going to talk about photography in the iPad today, is even on this trip, without this new iPad, I was thinking, I probably could have just gotten away with just bringing the iPad and doing all the photography chores that I was doing on the road. I still would come home and use Lightroom on a PC or a Mac at home after the trip, but all the chores I was doing, and how much lighter carrying that than a laptop?
But you did bring a laptop.
I did bring a laptop, and I'm thinking on my next trip, I'll probably just bring this iPad. So what we're going to show you today is apps that take advantage of this new iPad that make a lot of the photography chores that you might be doing. And I'll even show you how to take your camera, you know, when you bring your camera with you, how to put it, the pictures on. I brought you two different ways you could put the pictures on.
Is that the camera you brought?
It is not. Oh. I brought a ridiculously heavy camera, and that's the other thing. I might next time just bring this. but this is a point and shoot that, you know, a lot of people have something similar to this. So I wanted to show you something that was a little bit more similar. And then, of course, I'll show you the accessories Renee Ritchie says everybody should get. Should we start with that?
Sure.
Everybody, he says, first of all, even if you have, as I have, the adapter that takes lightning and turns it, you know, that gives you a USB port or a camera card reader, he said, get the new one because this is USB 3. So another big change, and again, you probably wouldn't notice it under the hood, is this lightning port, unlike your old iPad Pro, can do high-speed data connectivity. Oh. So he said, buy this. This is, I can't remember, I think $25, $30. This is the adapter that's, and it says on it specifically, USB 3 USB adapter. Now I can take my card reader, which is, this is a USB 3 card reader. And the reason you know is because the cable is a little bit different. That means it's a high-speed card reader, and you'll want to, it won't benefit you to use. Notice these blue USB ports, those are also USB 3. So this USB 3 card reader now can read a card at USB 3 speeds when I plug it into my iPad. And that makes a big difference. Nowadays, even a point-and-shoot, this is a 20-megapixel camera. That means it's about 20 megabytes an image. So you want a high-speed card reader. That makes a big difference. Now, one thing that the iPad immediately say when you plug this in is, I can't power that. So now I understand why there's a second adapter here that is designed for powering your iPad. So when you're not going to do this probably unless you can plug in, because you need the extra juice to power a USB 3 card reader. The other accessory he recommends, and I do strongly recommend this, is he says you can also charge your new iPad faster if you get a different power brick than comes with it. Apple does not they ship a kind of more standard, smaller iPad power brick. This is the 29-watt power brick. And my guess is that this is designed for the MacBook, not for the iPad. But Renee reports it will charge faster. So fast charging is an issue. But remember, in order to use this, notice that this doesn't have a standard USB connector. It has a Type-C connector. Oh. That's why I think it's for the MacBook. So you're going to have to get a Type-C to Lightning cable for charging. Then you can plug into this. And he says this will charge the new iPad Pro in about half the time. It's about twice as many watts that you're pumping down. So those are three accessories that you might want to add, adding another $80 to your bill, plus $150 on the new keyboard.
That's the new keyboard.
Yeah. The new keyboard is nice because it's a little bit bigger. It's got a little more space, so you're probably going to want to get that. And the good news is you don't have to get a new pencil. If you already have the pencil for the old iPad Pro, you can use that with this.
I'm surprised they didn't figure out a way to make you buy a new pencil.
I know. But really what they did, and I kind of commend them for that, is instead of improving the pencil, they improved the iPad. The pencil was good enough and made the iPad faster. So now I've got all my kit that I'm going to take on the road with me. And it's still lighter than roughly getting now to MacBook size. That's what Lisa took as her MacBook.
Let me ask you a question. Did you take any pictures with your iPhone at all?
I did not. I did the best pic. One of the best pictures I took with a camera phone, though. It was the Google Pixel phone. I probably would have been just as good with the iPhone. I think they're very similar. And that was at Machu Picchu. I had all this. I had 20 pounds of camera gear. I had Canon 5D Mark IV. I had a big lens for the long, you know, for the bird shots. I had a wide angle lens for the building shots. I had a fast 50 millimeter lens for the portrait shot. I mean, this was ridiculous. And it was probably 20 pounds of gear. And I'm shooting. We got up early. Machu Picchu's the Incan ruins up in the Andes in Peru. And we all went there before our trip to the Galapagos. And it's beautiful. It's a very spiritual, gorgeous place. You can tell why it's there because it's situated kind of in a little valley surrounded by these mountain peaks. And the sun comes up over the mountains. and then shines down on Machu Picchu in a very spectacular way. So we got up at 5 to go see the sunrise, and the sun doesn't rise to about 7, but you want to beat the crowds. There's lots of people. And at 7 o'clock, and I'm shooting. The best shot I got was as I'm leaving, I walked around a corner. I said, oh, this is a nice angle. But I didn't want to pick out, I didn't want to get my camera out. So I just took it with a camera phone. It's probably the best shot I got.
Did Lisa take pictures with her iPhone?
She took them with mostly her Olympus camera. She brought a little bit lighter camera, Olympus OMD EM1 Mark II, for the camera buffs out there who want all the details. And she had a 14 to 150 millimeter lens, which means it was effectively 28 to 300. So you need, for the Galapagos, we're taking pictures of distant animals and birds, you need a telephoto lens. But then for places like Machu Picchu, you might want to be a little bit wider because you want to get the whole site into your shot. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have both. She had a lens with so much zoom that she was able to do all that with one camera. She got great shots. In fact, if you liked what I took, go to her blog, lifeoflisa.com. And see, you probably already have. And her shots are phenomenal.
Well, the expressions, like you caught the expressions on some of the animals, like the seals and stuff. It was just amazing.
So I was torn, you remember, about how I should, you know, kind of save and present our pictures. Mm-hmm. So tip number one, I do love Google Photos. You've heard me talk about Google Photos a lot. And the advantage of Google Photos is I was able to make, before we left, I was able to make a Google Photos album, Machu Picchu and the Galapagos, and share it with Lisa. So in fact, you can see her there and the kids so that they could upload their images. So this became a shared photo album that everybody's images went into. And then when I got back and I had more bandwidth, this is part of the problem. A lot of times when you're traveling, you have very little bandwidth or sometimes none. And in the case of the Galapagos, there were plenty of places where I couldn't get online at all. So I had to do everything locally. And then when we got internet access, I was able to upload. So Google Photos is kind of my backup, right? What I do at the end of every day is I take my camera, I copy it over to the iPad or your iPhone, and then let the iPhone upload whenever it can get online slowly over time so that you have a backup. I was very cautious with my pictures. I brought enough memory cards so I didn't have to erase cards as we went. And so every few days I'd swap out a memory card and put a new one in and keep this one. So that's the original. That's copy number one. I would also copy it to my laptop, although next time I'll be able to copy it to my iPad. That's copy number two. And then I brought a small external drive and I would sync the external drive every night. So now I have three copies, and then my offline copy, my in the cloud copy, was Google Photos. But of course, with limited bandwidth, I could only upload it as over time. But that may now, and then I separate. This is crazy, maybe overdone, but I put the external drive in my carry-on, and or actually vice versa, put the external drive in my checked luggage while I had the laptop in my carry-on and the camera in my carry-on, so that I really didn't want to lose any pictures. However, the presentation, I tried something new, and I thought it went very well. On Windows Weekly, Mary Jo Foley, who is also a travel buff, used something called Microsoft Sway. This is a free iOS app. It's also a Windows app. And you can do it from the web. I have mixed feelings about it. It's a presentation program. So Microsoft says Sway, it's part of Office, can be used as a way to make business presentations. But Mary Jo was using it for slideshows on her trip, and they came out really great. So this is Sway. It's free on the iPad. I think it really is nice to use on the iPad. So when I found a good picture, I would add it to the Sway. And then you can also add text to the Sway. So as you're working, you can add captions. I like doing that because captions are a way for me of kind of remembering what this picture meant, what was going on. So here we are at the airport, I think at 6 a.m. or very early. And so I also mentioned that we had 9 flights in total during this 2-week trip. We'd spent a lot of time in airports and airplanes. So I can put that into the Sway as we go. Now, this isn't what you'll see at home. This is my kind of my work Sway. And it's very easy. You see, there's a plus sign. If I want to add a picture, I can add it directly from the camera. I can add text. I can add a heading. I can also say how the images are shown. So you can say, let Sway do it. And that's really kind of what Microsoft wants you to do, which is let Sway arrange the presentation. That's really what they're saying about this is, oh, this is something you can do you know, without doing any work, you're going to get a great looking presentation. I sometimes would take a little more control of it and choose one of these other stacking methods. You can also, if you add media, you add it from, this is from the Apple Photos app, right? So I can add media there. Let's pick a, cancel out of that and pick a spot to add something. This is, by the way, an automatic stack. This is the picture I took with the camera phone. This is my best picture, just so you know what Machu Picchu looks like. But again, this isn't what it's going to end up looking like. This is you're working in this, right? This is how you're working in it. You can also, when you're looking at a picture like this, you can crop it, and you can star it, which will tell it, okay, I want to see that full screen. Otherwise, these will be a little bit smaller. So you have a lot of control over this. Now, what you can do, and this is what I did, is you can share it in a variety of ways. You can send a link to invite others to participate, just like Google Photos. Or you can have a link that other people can look at. And that link can be posted in Facebook, Twitter, Google+. It even has, and this is what I did, an embed link. So the embed link is a link that I pasted into my blog, so that in a frame in my blog, so that it is actually in my blog as a presentation. But I said I had mixed feelings about this. My mixed feelings are, you're putting your photos in something. There's no export. There's no way to say, take this and make it a movie or a PowerPoint. It's in Sway, and that's the only place it can be. And if Microsoft should kill, it's on the Sway servers. It's not local. So if Microsoft should kill Sway, this presentation's gone forever. And you know, I'm not a fan, because I've been bit before, of putting your pictures anywhere where you don't control it. So if you use this, this shouldn't be the only way you share your pictures, and you absolutely must keep the original copies of your images. And if you write a lot of text, you might want to save that as well. And you have to do that manually, because Microsoft doesn't let you do it. However, it is a great way to share these. Once I embedded it on my blog, it becomes a show. Sway has some features that are nice. You can change the layout, the colors in the background. You can have it even automatically remix it. If you say, well, I don't know if I did a good job, so I'm going to remix it. You can have it do that. This is a different view of it. This is the date timeline view, which I really like, especially for a trip. Less useful for a business presentation, but for a trip, it's great, because this is June 1st, this is June 7th, or this is day one, June 5th. I put the actual dates in. And I think that's really nice too. So here, I'll just show you what it looks like just for a little bit. When somebody goes, and if you want to see the full thing, you can go to leolaporte.com, my blog, or I posted it on Facebook also. So you see, it's kind of a slideshow with the captions. And if people want to see a picture close up, they can, and then they can close it. I think it's just kind of fun. These are not the pictures you liked, though. I know what you wanted to see.
I watched this on Facebook, and I really did like that you had captions on it, too. Because rather than just looking at someone.
Don't look at that. That's explicit.
That's
but one
art.
Of, one of the know. Advantages. Well, yeah, this is pre-Columbian art. By the way, we're at a museum in Lima called the Museo Larco. And they have a section of the museum that they say is the adult section. Because it turns out the Incas and the Indians before them made explicit
right.
sculptures. And
why
what's,
wouldn't
what's
they?
Great about this picture, and I'll leave it to you if you feel adult enough to look at it. Anatomically correct. Is that this is actually, these were actually on the bathroom doors, so you know which bathroom to go to. And I kind of liked it. There was no question. You knew what bathroom to go to, depending. Anyway, I'll scroll past that. These are the Machu Picchu pictures. And you see, this is, even though I have this on the iPad, this is all loading from Microsoft's servers. So if the servers are dead, this will stop working. So this is really, I wouldn't think of this as a long-term proposition. In fact, I'd probably trust Google Photos, and I'll show you what Google Photos album looks like in a second, a little bit more, because Sway does not seem like a big business for Microsoft. Google Photos is clearly a big business for Google. So, but yeah, you like the Galapagos animals. So let me see if I can get there. And I wrote a little travelogue on, you know, each island, because we visited something like 8 islands. There's hundreds of islands in the Galapagos. So I wrote a little bit of, you know, what island we're on and what kind of animals you'll see on the island. You like the animals?
I did.
I didn't take this picture so I can show it and sing its praises. I lent my camera to one of our guides, and he said, oh, good. And then he went out in a Zodiac, one of those little rubber boats, and took pictures of penguins. The Galapagos are weird. These penguins are Antarctic penguins that somehow got transported on the ocean currents to the equator, where it's very hot for them. It's too hot for them. So they don't thrive here, but they survive because there's one current, the Humboldt Current, which comes from the Antarctic, where the water's really cold. There's a strange place because in some places the water's warm, equatorial warm, and some places it's freezing cold. So
what's that?
That's a rock called the Bishop. Can you tell why it's called the Bishop?
Oh, the hat?
Yeah, he's a bishop. Look at his face. He's a grumpy bishop reading a book, they say, or praying. Isn't that funny? That's just an eroded... the Galapagos. These are our guides. They were wonderful. Galapagos is a eroded... it's all lava. They're all volcanic islands. It's kind of like Hawaii. So which animals do you like the best? You like the sea turtles?
I liked the sea turtles. Seals?
Yeah, and you know what? They're California sea lions.
Sea lions.
They came down from California coast. There's also currents that go in that direction. It's a very strange thing. We went whale watching one day. These are the little rubber boats you go out.
Those are beautiful. So did you edit that photo?
Yeah, and I'll show you a little bit about how I did that. Because this is, you're gonna want to do something with your pictures, if not, like for instance, I probably straightened the horizon on this. Wow. Because I'm in a bouncy boat. You have to move fast. There's a whale over there, and this whale is up for 1 second. So I had to move very quickly, and probably, I'm guessing, it was a little bit at an angle. There's one of the sea lions. He was swimming next to the boat, so I didn't have to. Isn't he pretty?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really gorgeous. But I know what you really like the best, I'm guessing, is the, well you got to like the iguanas, right?
I did like the iguanas.
But I'm thinking you like the giant tortoises.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're really amazing. They're what the Galapagos is known for. In fact, they're what it's named for. Galapagos is a Spanish word meaning saddle, and it's the word based on the saddle shells of some of the tortoises. So here's a giant tortoise, just for you.
Thank you.
But they weigh hundreds of pounds, and they move very slowly. They're very prehistoric looking. Here's a picture of me. That's the camera. And this tortoise, I didn't get this picture. Because the tortoise was walked right up to me, and this lens was way too long, so I just kind of, I asked my guide, "What should I do? You're not supposed to get within 6 feet of the animals. What should I do?" She said, "Don't move." The tortoise just kind of trundled right by me.
What was she afraid would happen if you moved? That it would attack you?
No.
Slowly.
Just don't mess with don't mess with the tortoises. I don't know why he has a toothpick hanging out of his mouth. They're kind of messy eaters. They also like mud. So that was a lot of fun. Anyway, you're right. You don't, this to give you a sense of the size. That's Lisa, who is a normal sized human. And that is the giant tortoise. And that's how big they get. They're really beautiful creatures. It's fun. The Galapagos is fun, and it's a photographer's dream. So what was my routine, as I mentioned? Now, normally, so what I did is I brought a laptop with me, and I was using Lightroom. But I'm thinking next time, what I can do is get the pictures in. Now, I wanted to show you. Almost all cameras now have an app that makes it easy to get the pictures in. In this case, this is a Panasonic, so you can use the Panasonic Image app. I was using a Canon, and you can. I'd have to turn on the. Let me turn on the camera's Wi-Fi here, and so most cameras nowadays have, believe it or not, have Wi-Fi. And so I'm going to send, you can use it to control the camera, but in this case, send images stored on the camera to a smartphone. And I'm going to connect, and suddenly it'll say, oh, I see the camera. And now you can very quickly, because it's Wi-Fi, this becomes a Wi-Fi access point, and you can very quickly copy the pictures from the camera over. So now they're in your, depending on the app, sometimes they're in only the app, sometimes they are immediately copied to Apple's Photos app. But once they're in the Photos app, then there's a variety of ways to edit it. And I, as you can see, brought quite a few apps with me. I'm a Lightroom fan. And Lightroom on the iPad is very interesting because Lightroom now, as it stands on the iPad, is really, this is like a sidecar to Adobe's Lightroom on the desktop computer. But Adobe has said one of the things they really want to do is make Lightroom on the iPad every bit as powerful as Lightroom on the desktop. You can crop and straighten, so you can, you know, do that. There are some preset effects, and this is getting pretty sophisticated. You know, I can make this a black and white photo if I want, or I can say I want to make this a little cooler or maybe a little bit warmer. And they also add detail, which I frequently would add detail. You want to enhance the clarity of your images, maybe reduce the noise if it's a grainy image, maybe not. Let's go back to that high clarity. That looks pretty good, doesn't it? Except it's kind of popped this rock, so I might want to reduce the brightness a little bit. You can vignette. So there's a lot of the editing stuff that you might do on a desktop version of Lightroom. You can do here, and they even give you quite a bit of more elaborate controls. But a lot of people use Lightroom on the iPad as just simply a way of marking photos. Like as you're going through your photos, oh yeah, let's keep that one, and you can double click it and say I want it. Or you can also do this, which is check the focus and so forth, and you can make it a pick or not. And so then what happens is when you get home, or you get back to your hotel room, this will sync the picked pics with Lightroom on the desktop, and then you could do, if you need it, the more elaborate editing. I think this, by the way, is free and doesn't require an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription to use, but if you want it to synchronize with Lightroom on the desktop, then you do have to have a subscription to Adobe's Creative Cloud. I actually do the $10 a month subscription, which gives you Lightroom and Photoshop, and those are really the tools that any photographer needs. This is a sea iguana crawling out of the ocean, which is kind of amazing because this is the only place in the world where iguanas go swim. They're not very good swimmers. They only can use their tail to swim. What they do is they dive very deep. They eat the seaweed, but the problem is they can't digest the seaweed. So once they eat the seaweed, fill their belly. Look how full that guy's belly is. They go out in the rocks and they cook it inside their tummy.
Oh my goodness.
So that they can eat it. So when these guys are lying all over the place. They're not social animals, by the way, but don't they look like prehistoric creatures? Isn't that amazing? So when you look, there are just tons of them lying. I have to see if I can find a picture of it, but lying all together, I guess not. On a rock, and periodically, as it's cooking, by the way, they've ingested a considerable amount of salt water, and as with most creatures, they can't digest the salt water. So as it's cooking, every once in a while, they'll spew salt water out of their nose, like little steaming pots.
I think that's how we should all do Thanksgiving, just raw turkey, a lot of salt water.
And lie in the sun.
Lay in the sun, yeah. And bake it inside us.
So I think Lightroom is a really, and I think by the time I go on vacation next, in a few months, Adobe will have updated this to work even better with the new iPad Pro and probably will be a very good photo, I think, as good a photo editor as it is on the desktop. So that's pretty exciting.
I think with once you get to Lightroom, that's beyond me.
Let's not use Lightroom then.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's when a tool can only do so much. Right? Like, I think you are a photographer.
Well, you have to get the image. I mean, there's nothing else you can, you know, you can't replace the image. Mm. But a good photo editor will let you take that image and make it a little more dramatic. How about that? Let me show you something that everybody should have. I don't care what you're taking pictures with. It's free. It's from Google. It's called Snapseed. And what Snapseed is probably every bit as sophisticated as Lightroom. But it's much easier to use. And because it's completely free, so I've opened an image in it. And these are all, you know, it has a bunch of great filters, fun filters like HDR landscape. Look how that, can you see the difference between the original? That's the original. And I just turned on the filter. And it becomes, that, by the way, that's kind of the secret of the professional photographers, is just a little bit. And the other thing that's nice about Snapseed is you can change the strength. So if you say, well, that's crazy, I'm not going to go that far. Although I bet you've seen a few sunsets that look like that, when in reality they looked like that. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can adjust the strength to your comfort level with But every photographer does a little bit of this. You have to, because what you're trying to do is capture what it looked like when you were there in person. And the camera maybe doesn't do such a great job of that. This captures the mood and feel of it. So you can do that. That's an adjustment. A black and white sunset doesn't make a lot of sense, but you can do that. When I pick good pictures of people, I often make it black and white so that the colors and shapes don't distract you. You see the people's.
I look much better in black and white.
Yeah, a lot of people do. This is drama. Like, oh my gosh, red skies at night, sailor take delight or something. So that's everybody should have.
What
Snapseed.
Can I show you? What I like to use.
Snapseed what do you
for?
Use?
Snapseed for?
Oh, you use Snapseed.
I'm not a photographer, but sometimes you want to.
Not Snapchat.
No, not Snapchat. Snapseed. You know Alex Gumpel, who works with us. He never smiles in photos.
Oh, can you make a smile?
Yes, you can. You ready? Let's see.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Open from device. Let me see. I have this picture of Alex and I. Here he is. We went to Lagunitas. See, he's always frowning in pictures.
Now, why is that, Alex?
I don't know.
He's a gloomy Gus.
Okay, so here's what I can do. I can go to
Gloomy
Edit.
Gumpel.
And go down to Pose. Yes. And adjust smile.
What?
Watch closely.
No.
You got it. Can you? You can.
It's making him smile.
Can you see? It's not much. Yeah, yeah. Ready?
I am stunned. He's smiling. Oh my goodness.
And isn't it funny? Because it knew that it didn't need to adjust my smile, because I always smile, but Alex doesn't. So
I didn't know it could do that.
Yes. Do you have any frowny pictures of anyone?
I'm gonna play with them.
You can move their heads too, I think. Let's see. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
See, look, his head is moving a little bit.
I can't even believe that.
I mean, see, that's why we make good co-hosts, because you're like making this beautiful art. I'm like, I'm going to make Alex smile.
Wait a minute. Because this one of the things you can do in this is you can take a picture. Just give me a frowny face. Like, no, well, not that frowny. Normal. Like, yeah, that makes you look sad. That makes you really look sad. Even
like
though
to
you
look
just,
sad.
It's just you're not smiling. So. Where is
just
this?
Scroll down to
Pose. Oh, this is brand new.
Yep.
And
make me smile.
Pupil size.
Smile.
Focal length. This
is cool.
And
then scroll up the top. Up at the top, you adjust the, yeah. Or yeah, I guess you.
OMG.
That's not my smile, though. Ooh.
That's hysterical. So that's new in Snapseed.
Yeah.
This is a Google program. They bought a company called Nix Software that makes these great filters. It isn't your smile. In fact,
no.
It doesn't look like you anymore. But so use this just a little, just a tad. Turn up the corner. To give her a Mona Lisa smile.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What else can it do? This is really cool.
It can
cool.
do all kinds. I mean, it can enhance your face. And
turn your
take
head.
Out, probably take out that little wrinkle line.
Look,
there.
I'm turning your head a little bit. Focal length.
Well, I don't know why you'd want to turn someone's head, like, but
that's not a good effect.
Yeah.
Pupil size. So this is a tip on Snapseed, by the way. You can change the filters by scrolling with your finger up and down, and you can change the strength by scrolling with your finger left and right. So that makes, if you're in an adjustment in Snapseed. So yeah, see, wow, that's great. Let's grunge you up too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's good.
Grunge and smile.
Mm-hmm. That should be my new profile pic.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. She looks like a punk rocker. So Snapseed, but there are other programs. And I know that you talked about this when the new iPads came out. Jason Snell mentioned a new program, which is Affinity Photo, and is maybe better than Lightroom. It certainly is an interesting photo editor. Affinity Photos from the folks at Serif Labs. And if you're a photographer, you know Serif. Now, it's not cheap. It's $20. But unlike Photoshop, there's no subscription. You can you really ought to read the tutorials or go through the tutorials. But go ahead and show my screen, because I'll show you. Once you start it up, you have a variety of choices. You can create a new image. You can import it. You can take it out of your photo library. Look, it will work with panos, and you can take a pano. You can do stacks, which will help you with HDR, focus merge, HDR merge, import from camera, which is kind of nice. So you really, which means you can take a picture and do it. So let me just import something from my my photos here and see just show you some of the things we can do, especially with an image that is maybe kind of drab. Actually, this is a bad one. This is black and white. All right, we can still play with it. Now, the one thing about Affinity Photo is, and that I'm not crazy about it, is like Serif, it has a lot of buttons and knobs. See all of these icons? That's why I suggest it's a good idea to go through the tutorials, because first of all, they use icons, and what is this swirly? No one knows, you know, and so it's a good. I don't know. I don't even know now what I'm seeing. So it's a good idea to learn what it'll do. But these are, for instance, this is very much, if you've used Lightroom, like Lightroom with the clarity slider, and you can change the saturation. I should really have used something. No, let's not develop that. You have uncommitted changes. I know, because I'm uncommitted. Let me go back and get something that's more of an image with color in it. We can make this. We can make this one. I think Lisa's already edited this, probably. Yeah. So we'll go back to. So these are, you know, very typical Lightroom things. The histogram shows white is all the colors together, and then there's red, green, and blue. And you can modify it by color. You can change. You can brighten it and darken it. This is for somebody who wants a lot of control. Snapseed is easy. This is for a photographer, and I'm going to say that you can probably do, Serenity Caldwell says anyway, you could probably do everything you would do in Lightroom and Photoshop. It has, by the way, drawing tools too, like Photoshop does. So this is for $20. This is an amazing image editor, and probably if you're a photographer and you want to use your iPad. My point, and the thing that's exciting about Affinity, first of all, it was designed for the new iPad Pro. But also, I think this is where Apple wants to take the iPad. They want to make this every bit as powerful as a laptop so that you don't need to take a laptop. The next time you're out on the road, you can do much of what you want to do right here on the iPad. Pretty impressive. I'll show you one more thing that's very useful.
Okay.
And to do that, I'm going to pull out a Windows PC. So,
well, the other thing with Affinity is you can do the free trial of the Mac or Windows app. There's no free trial for iOS.
They have a desktop.
Yeah. But you can't try before you buy the iOS.
I think it's not a bad idea to play with it on the desktop, because then you can hover, you can get mouse tip, you know, hover tips, and learn how to use the interface. It's hard to learn how to use the interface if you're just doing it on the. You know what I need? Maybe it'll work. I don't know if it'll work with a Type-C cable. This will be an interesting.
Did you bring this laptop?
Yeah, this is my Windows laptop. This is the one that I brought on the trip, because I thought I needed a Windows machine. I didn't, as it turned out, need a Windows machine. But I did also bring the iPad. But it'd be interesting to do this. We've talked before about an app called Duet. Remember Duet? Mm-hmm. Duet is a. In fact, when we played with it, we had a little difficulty getting it to work. But I, with a couple of reboots, and I should say that it took a couple of reboots, was able to get Duet to work. It works on Windows and Macintosh PCs, and it turns your iPad into a second screen. And on programs like Lightroom, that is a great boon, especially since you have now, with the iPad, you have something that is a really high-quality screen. So I'm going to connect this iPad using, and I've not done it with a Type-C cable. I don't know why it wouldn't work. But I'm going to go in my iPad, and I'm going to run the Duet app. And then I have Duet running on the PC as well. And watch this. This is kind of wild. I can move my mouse, and that's a second screen. And photographers, you're going to really love this. So I work in Lightroom. So I've got Lightroom on my Windows PC. I'm sorry that we can't pull the camera back, because somebody has to get on a ladder to do that. But you get the general gist of this. So I'm going to have Lightroom running on my PC, and I'll pick an image. Let's pick an image. And that image is going to show up here. Let me select. No photo selected. I have to. There it is. So what this means is I can go into the grid mode here, and I can slowly work through my images. If you've used Lightroom, you know that the dual screen setup is the best way to use Lightroom. You can full screen preview. And by the way, on an iPad with a full P3 gamut, a really nice screen, you can preview your images as you go through them. Actually, we're zoomed in here. So let me zoom out. And this is, for a lot of people, how they would use Lightroom on the desktop. Well, now you can do it on a laptop with a second screen that's small enough and light enough to actually carry on your trips. And you can do the editing and everything. You can, of course, make this screen be anything you want. This is just what Lightroom does with a second screen. If you're not using Lightroom, you can use this as a second screen. Let's launch the chat room in here, for instance. So I'm working on my desktop. It's a little tiny. But with Duet, I can have the chat room going. And incidentally, I have this set at a high resolution, but you could set this at 1024. You can make it whatever you want. And now I can chat, and this is a second screen. So Duet, highly, and by the way, it's kind of a revelation. I can do it with a Type-C cable as well as a USB Type-A cable. And even though you might say, well, it's USB, could it be very fast and responsive? Yeah, it feels exactly like a second screen does on a computer, Windows or Mac. I think Duet, how much is Duet? I think it's $20. Well worth it, though, if you ever want to have a portable environment where you have dual screens. Or maybe you have a MacBook, you know, I'm glad to know this works with Type-C, because now you could take your MacBook, and if you have the 12.9-inch iPad, you're actually going to have a bigger screen on your iPad than you'd have on your laptop. So this is a second monitor that you can carry with you in your backpack. That is an awesome combination. And I brought it works fine with the Mac, but I brought the Windows machine just to show it works with Windows and Mac. You will, when you install it on the Mac, on the iPad, you will then install it a little driver on the Windows machine. So isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely improved. When we tried it about a year ago, it was a little buggy.
It was hard to use. As you see, when I go into Windows, I have my my choice of displays. This is the second display. I can move it around. If you want to have it on the right, you could put it on the right. I like to keep it on the left because that's where the connectors are. If I identify them, you'll see that's one. And I'll bring this over and you can see that's two. So it's just like any external display on a Windows machine. You can, of course, mirror as well if you'd prefer. I don't know why you'd want to, but maybe because you want to use this. You know what? You could be, hey, I'm going to force you to see every one of my pictures. Look at my iPad, and then I can control the slideshow here. If you're doing a PowerPoint presentation, that might be kind of cool, too, to have that second screen. So this works so nicely. It just blows me away. That's Duet, and you might want to add that as a second. So basically, with all of these tools, this is becoming, in my opinion, a very viable candidate to bring instead of bringing a laptop. And if you do bring a laptop, then you have even a better setup. I'm very excited. I have a feeling, we'll talk in a few months. I'm going to go. Lisa and I are going to France on a riverboat cruise in the fall, and that's another, to me, for both of us, travel's really mostly about photography. We like to go places where we can take pictures. Mm-hmm. And I will, I think I'm going to just bring the iPad. I think that might be enough.
When are you going? Will there be a new iPhone? Not by then.
Yeah, there might be. That worked out last time, mm-hmm. Right? I was just able to get the iPhone 7 before we went on our last vacation last year. We're going, I think we leave September 14th. So I'm crossing my fingers that Apple, as they have in the past, does it in the first half of September, not the second half mm-hmm. of September. And then maybe I'll even be able to have a new iPhone with me.
Well, you went on vacation. Did you take some magazines with you?
I did. And you know what I did? I took Texture with me. In fact, Lisa and I both took Texture with us. Texture is like Netflix for magazines. All your favorite magazines. I'm not logged in on this. So, I got this after we came back. I'm logged in on my old iPad.
I'm logged in. You can see all my magazines.
200 plus magazines. And the beauty of this is they download, you can favorite the magazines, and then you read them. All the planes we were on, none of the planes had Wi-Fi, which I thought was like everybody had Wi-Fi. Look at that. Cooking magazines. Which cooking magazine is that? Epicurean?
Parents. It was five easy weeknight dinners. That's the thing. They put in collections, so it's not just cooking magazines.
I know, isn't that nice? And you might not read parents no. normally, but you have access to mm-hmm. it. So what would it cost you to subscribe to 200 magazines? Or, you know, for me, guarantee you, every month there's at least one article I want to read in The New Yorker, in the Vanity Fair, Rolling Stone. But I don't want to go buy those newsstand issues. That'd cost me $50-$60 a month. And subscribing, I always feel guilty because you get this pile of paper, your coffee table's all cluttered. Texture solves this. Every page that's in the magazine on the newsstand, plus bonus features you can't get in a magazine, like video. And then, of course, as you mentioned, they have this. They have the texture editors curate great collections. They point you to magazines you might not see. All the tech stuff's there. PC Magazine, Mac Week Magazine, Wired. There's always something I want to read. In fact, Wired, I might even read cover to cover. So that's on my favorites list. That way it downloads it automatically. And I have it. 200 magazines for $10 a month. But I'm going to get it for you for free. How about for the next 2 weeks? So you can try it. You know what? Save this offer for your vacation. This is the best thing. Or maybe not. Just do it now. And texture.com/twit. It was one of Apple's 2016 top iPad apps. It's a beautiful app. But it's not just the iPad. It's iOS and Android. And by the way, I don't mention this in the app, but I'm going to give you a little pro tip. You can install it on up to 5 devices, which means Lisa's got the subscription, but I and Michael and Mario, all the whole troop, had texture on our various devices. Michael and Mario were keeping up on E3. I was reading Sports Illustrated. Lisa was reading photography, the best photography magazines. They're all on there. And, well, that's another good feature of texture. If you love photography and you read Shutterbug or National Geographic or whatever photography magazines, photography looks so much better on an iPad than it does in print because they're not screening it. You don't have the dots. So I highly recommend texture. I should log in. I could show you some of the beautiful imagery. The National Geographic never looked so good as it does on texture. Texture.com/twit. It's what your iPad was made for. Get it free for 2 weeks right now.
This question is from Kevin and Robin in Las Vegas. And they said, our whole family enjoys tech and especially the iPad. It has turned out to be a big hit with our 90-year-old mother-in-law.
Nice. Yeah.
She's in an assisted living center and continually impresses the other ladies with her knowledge of the world. She uses texting, news, and Facebook to keep track of her family. The iPad really keeps her entertained and engaged with the world. Recently, she asked if we knew of any good games. Of course, she does solitaire and some slot machine simulators, but we are stumped for some good suggestions. There is no Wi-Fi in her building, so she's using the cell ability of the iPad. That she has. With that in mind, we need low data use apps. So I asked that. I'm not a big gamer. I like Monument Valley, which I think would be a good suggestion.
And uses no data. Once you install mm-hmm. it's getting harder and harder to find an app that doesn't connect to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Once, yeah.
Or all the time. You can't play, Pokemon Go. You can't play, not that she would, but there's so many apps that just, you would have thought that, what's the Nintendo game? Mario Runner? You would have thought that you could play. You don't even connect. You have to be connected or you can't play it. You can't play it on an airplane that doesn't have Wi-Fi. I find that very frustrating.
But Monument Valley, you just
Monument Valley's awesome. I think she'll love that.
And Monument Valley 2.
Does she like card games? If she likes solitaire. And this does not need to connect. And it's a lot easier, especially as you get older, it's a lot easier to play solitaire without having to put cards out on the table and all that stuff. So even if you're a little shaky, you can have so much fun. Churchill is a card game that Winston Churchill, I think, invented, a version of solitaire that he invented and was kind of handed down. And was it Donald Rumsfeld? It was one of the former secretaries of state, secretaries of the defense. I think Donald Rumsfeld, who heard this from an ambassador who'd learned it from Churchill. And Rumsfeld made it an Apple iPad game, and I highly recommend this one. It is a hard solitaire game, but if mom or grandma loves solitaire, this is one I play all the time. I really enjoy it. It's very easy. You don't have to have a lot of manual dexterity to play it. It's you don't have to have a perfect hand. And I just it's a fun game. I always play this whenever I have a little time to spare. New version of solitaire, though, not one that she might know already. By the way, this is another one. Now, I find that I do this because I want to keep my mind nimble. New York Times crossword. And you can, it comes with some free, like I think every day there's a daily free crossword that you can play. I love these minis because you can do them in a minute or two. They're so much fun. Chili with bean, with chili, chill with, chill with, chill with. I don't know.
Chill with hang?
Lewis Title, Lewis Carroll. I know. Oh, hang, that's it. Hang, good, good, hang. I bet we can solve this. You're good. Cut off. I don't know. Like puff pastries and mica rock. Leaved. Years upon. Let's go down. We got to go. Adele's song with the lyric.
Hello.
I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be. Bird related. Avian. Oops. And see how easy this is? Now, it's a little easier if she has the keyboard, but she can just use the on-screen keyboard as well. Parts of beer bottles. Necks.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? Gray poupon. It's a mustard. Umpire's cry. Safe. Let's see if we did it.
We did it.
Isn't that fun?
I like that music too.
And it has a little happy music, and you can share it with your friends on Facebook. See, I solved the crossword puzzle in a minute
and
two.
We solved the crossword.
I didn't. So, and then you can buy packs as well. So that's the only time you'll need to get online is to buy a pack. Or to download the new daily puzzle. I really like this. I think, and for older people, keeping your mind nimble, a crossword puzzle is great. My mom does these like crazy.
Lisa Schmeiser, who writes for The Observer, I put this out on Twitter. She suggested Toka hair salon.
Toka Boca. That's for kids, but I have to agree with Lisa. It's a lot of fun.
I know, yeah. So that's a good suggestion.
It's aimed at young people.
Yes, you've showed it before.
You blow dry the hair, you cut the hair.
That'd be fun.
You run a salon. But it's not like one of those games where you have to run a salon and there's lots going on. It's just creative. You're just giving somebody a hairstyle. Mm-hmm. There's no stress involved. I really like that.
Yeah. I got a lot of suggestions. Tiny Wings, you ever play that?
Love Tiny Wings. That's hard. I think that Tiny Wings might not be as suitable for somebody in their 90s just because that's a tough game. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, show Megan's. She's playing it.
I'm playing Tiny Wings.
Yeah. I think Tiny Wings takes some, see, like that. I wouldn't give that to a 94-year-old.
What, am I supposed to press for a long, or I'm just supposed to hold
when
it?
Yeah, when you press it goes faster. There you go.
And then what?
It gets harder, believe me.
Oh, okay.
Tap. There you go.
See, oh, to
you
flap my wings? Yeah, it's like Flappy Bird sort of?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do that for a 94-year-old.
Okay.
But maybe she's really likes to tap. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I think I showed this when you weren't here, but Splitter Critters, have you seen
that?
It's a little bit Monument Valley-like. You have to split the land and then move it together so that they get matched together. So, like,
do you think a 90-year-old would enjoy Minecraft?
I don't know.
I think they might.
You don't need... I don't know.
I think they might. I love Minecraft. Now, I think you do have to be online for that, so we won't recommend that.
Do you? You don't, but I don't think.
Maybe not.
For a pocket edition?
No, I guess you don't.
No.
Yeah. So, I think Minecraft, and then the grandkids, she can talk with them about Minecraft. Mm-hmm. See, I'm in my little house. I've got a bed. I've got my chests with stuff in it. I can make things in my special furnace, and then I can wander out. Did I put a door on my house? Maybe it's over here. Oh, yeah. There's my door. And go out in the outside world. It's all in the 8-bit. Look, here's my mine. They call him. Oh, there's a spider. Got a fight?
I think this is harder than Tiny Wings.
This isn't hard. And besides, you don't have to play it in survival mode like I'm doing. You can play in creative mode. And then you can just build stuff.
Plus, you can play with the kids.
Well, that's what I was thinking is it might be kind of cool if grandma did Minecraft because now you have something to talk about with the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And they do make it a little bit easier in the pocket edition. You don't have to actually jump. But I really should exit out and go into creative mode because how do I exit? I can't remember. Back. There we go. Save and quit. And if you go into creative mode, then, and look at this. This is all new stuff that you can buy with new games. In creative mode, there's no beasts, there's no creeps. You're just building stuff, and you can build. It's like Lego. I don't know. I think it'd be fun because then you could talk to the kids. I don't know about the stuff they're interested in. I don't want to be ageist and only, you know, show stuff like crossword puzzles and solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any? There's some good jigsaw puzzle games too.
Yeah,
that might be fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have one more question before AppCap. Tom from Smyrna, Georgia, wants you to read the tea leaves. Any idea what the odds might be that Apple introduces a 4K HDR Apple TV this fall?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I was surprised when they released a new Apple TV that they didn't make it at least 4K. Mm-hmm. They certainly could. The capability exists even in the iPad, but I don't feel like Apple's all in on the Apple TV. Do you?
No, I mean, they made no announcement. The only announcement they made was at the WWDC was that there was going to be an Amazon app on the Apple TV,
right.
And we all already knew that. I mean, Mark Gurman says they're testing a box that will be 4K compatible, and his sources are usually good, but he doesn't say it's going to come out this year.
And HDR is a second feature that's not necessarily, you know, you have 4K devices, that means, you know, quadruple the resolution of an HD device, but then there's an additional feature called HDR that gives you higher dynamic range, so the blacks are darker, the brights are whites are light. And if you have a TV, a new 4K, you know, UHD HDR TV, you'd like that. And there are many of other devices, including Roku and the Shield from NVIDIA and other Android TV devices that do 4K HDR. I just don't feel like Apple's. I mean, they should have done 4K last year. I don't know why they didn't. So will they do it this year? Well, I'm sure they're looking at it.
Yeah.
I can't. Those tea leaves, the future is cloudy,
mm-hmm.
As the eight ball would say.
Yeah. I mean, I have a 4K TV and
there's not a lot of content for it.
No. And now here's a question. Do I have to pay for a different Netflix subscription to be getting 4K? So the Netflix.
You just have to have sufficient bandwidth.
Okay.
So Netflix says you need at least 25 megabits. I'd say even more. But at least a constant, consistent 25 megabits download to watch 4K video. Mm-hmm. And the House of Cards is in 4K. You know, they have movies in 4K. Yeah. There's stuff in 4K. There's also a service called Vudu, V-U-D-U, that sells 4K movies. In fact, if you get a new Roku, the new 4K Roku, they have a 4K showcase and you can find 4K content. Mm-hmm. But the reason they do that is it's not everywhere by any means.
Yeah.
So you need enough bandwidth, 25 megabits or more. I would say 50, because other people are going to use the internet while you're watching TV. You don't want it to stutter all the time. And you need a TV that'll support it. And then a device, and not the Apple TV currently, that will support it. I moved, when I bought my 4K TV, there's an article. Apple vowed to revolutionize television. An inside look at why it hasn't. This is Gurman's article about them testing 4K, but whether they do it. Amazon, by the way, does have 4K content, quite a bit of 4K content on Amazon Prime. I don't know. The reason I can't predict is because it doesn't feel like a category Apple really wants to win. So if I got the sense from Apple, yes, we really care about Apple TV, then I would say, oh yeah, obviously in the fall they'd have to do a 4K version. But I don't know. I think it's still a hobby, if that.
I think they care more about creating original content, you know, with their two hires.
Have you watched any of those shows that they've made?
I watched part of Planet of the Apes.
Part? It didn't really engage you?
No. It was bad. But I don't think that's what, you know, when you were gone, they hired two executives from Sony, the executives who are in charge of Breaking Bad and The Crown. And
I don't think you can buy your way into this. Maybe you can. I mean, Netflix did, for sure.
Yeah.
But I just think that a lot of companies, Facebook, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. Google's already tried and failed several times. And now Apple want to create content that, you know, they want to be like HBO or Netflix or Amazon, mm-hmm. for that matter. But hiring people, that's a start. So you got to spend the money. And it's not easy. You have to do more than one or two shows.
Yeah.
So they've got Carpool Karaoke. Which is it out yet? The new Carpool Karaoke that Apple's doing?
I think just Planet of the Apps.
And then Planet of the Apps, which there's no way I'm watching that.
Did you even try?
They already Sherlocked one of the apps in the very first episode.
Yeah, they did.
With their AR kit.
Yeah, we showed that app already.
The poor guy. Yeah. Well, I mean, he had this whole tale of, like, his whole heart and soul and life was into it. And then Apple even, and this is the thing that really annoys me, while they're taping that Planet of the Apps episode, Apple knows, that guy's going to be out of business.
Yeah.
Because they're making AR kit.
I know.
I feel bad for him.
I feel bad.
This is one problem. When a company that is, what is Apple's business? Hardware. And then operating systems, and then maybe services. These companies can't just say, hey, we want to buy our way into television. I don't think it's that easy.
Yeah. All right, you ready for an app cap?
Is it that time?
It's that time again.
My gosh, time flies.
I think it is that
time. Let me put on a funny hat. Oh, Zorro.
Matches my outfit.
What happened to my hat? It was right there.
Oh.
Did I drop it?
I don't know.
I knocked it on the floor. Zorro, you start, and I will get on
okay.
the ground.
Okay. Well.
Look, it magically jumped into my hand. That means this is alive. Why do we wear these, by the way?
We wear these app caps. These are our app caps. They're made of apps. And we made them with apps.
See, Apple, if you would have asked us, we could have told you.
They're made with apps.
You need app caps on the Planet of the Apps.
We made, because this is our favorite app of the week. So we call it an app cap. It's an award. And this week's award
I think this is a Viking helmet.
To Patrick, who created Patrick from Pat's Apps.
By the way, Patrick, I don't know you, but I love you. Thank you.
I kind of love Patrick, too. He is a great app developer. My Twit is what he created. Let's take a look at it.
So I just want to say, but first of all, you got to get your brim out of it.
Okay, got it.
I just want to say, we spent...
Do you want to say this?
I probably shouldn't. We spent $75,000 trying to develop a Twit app for iOS and Android. Never got anything we would be proud to show anybody, so we just never released it. And along comes Patrick, and he makes the best Twit app ever. And one of the reasons we wanted to release a Twit app is because we have now this new API. When we redid the website, we created a backend so that an app like this could automatically update, not just with an RSS feed, but album art and all sorts of stuff would automatically update news. And he did such a great job. And I just, if you even watch live on this.
You can watch us right now watching us.
It's called My Twit.
My Twit.
And it's free.
And it's free. And I have forgotten Patrick's last name, and I apologize, but we can.
There it is. Patrick.
Hickey.
Hickey.
Patrick Hickey.
How could you
Thank
forget
you,
that?
Patrick. I don't know. I'm sorry, Patrick.
And it's free. Patrick, I don't know you, but I love you. He's obviously a very competent developer, better than the guys we paid $75,000 to. I'll tell you that.
You did want to say that.
Shocking.
All right. So, can I
look
show
at
you
that.
What
it's
we can
got,
do?
And see the biography there. This is all pulled from the API. So he didn't have to put any of this in his app. He just had to write an app that would pull our API and get this information. And it's beautiful. And if we change any of that information, it'll just change automatically in his app. So it will always be up to date.
And it also includes who's in every show. So I'm like, oh, well, I was in that show. There I am.
Isn't that nice?
And it links to all the other appearances I've made. And it also links to our sponsors, which is cool, too.
Yeah,
we
all
didn't
that's
ask
in
him
the
to
API.
Do any of this.
All this is, well, thank you for using the API and using it well. And really, this is the best app I've ever seen.
It's fast.
We have we thank all of our independent developers because they really do a great job making fabulous apps for us. And this is the latest. And it's called My Twit for iOS. Works great on iPad. On, we're hearing ourselves.
Yeah, we're hearing ourselves.
You're watching us, watching us. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is, wait till you open the live stream. That'll be fun.
And then
Patrick Hickey, and while there are other apps, and I certainly encourage you to take a look at all of them and buy the ones you like, there's like four or five apps on the Apple TV now. This is one of my favorites. It really did a nice job.
And it's free. It's free. Thank you, Patrick Hickey.
Nice. By the way, you know this cap came from Uruguay.
Oh.
This is a traditional Uruguay hat.
You going to Sherpa some tourists up a hill with that?
I don't think they have Sherpas in Uruguay. Oh. but I bought it when I was in Uruguay, so I'm pretty sure it's official. It's really warm because it's leather and then it's like fur. This is fake fur. I didn't buy a real fur one, but it's and probably fake leather for that. But I love this. It keeps your head very hot. So my app cap is something, and I saw an article, I think in 9 to 5 Mac, about this. You know, we're always talking about new video editors. iMovie comes with the iPad. So really, and that's a very good editor. But if you want to go to the next level, spend a few bucks on this. It's called Luma Fusion from LumaTouch. And, as you probably noticed, I didn't do a lot of video. But I might have, if I'd had this with me on the trip, choose your frame rate. And by the way, kind of a surprisingly large array. Certainly 24 for a filmic look. 30 is kind of standard. But you can go as high as 60 frames per second. You can choose your aspect ratio. So you can be Cinerama. You can be square if you're going to post it on Instagram. And then we're going to create a project here. Drag in videos from your iPad. Let's see. Do you want to see iguanas spitting?
Yes.
Okay. So we're gonna drag that in. It's timeline editing. It has a lot of great features built in, including titling, a very sophisticated titling. You can add voiceovers. It has a broad range of transitions. I would say as professional video editing app as you can get. Shall I drag that? Let me just play this. So lizards, somebody was pointing out. How do I go full screen? Lizards, as somebody was pointing out. Okay, this is the trim. And then I want to drag. How do I drag it down here? Obviously, I don't know a whole lot about what I'm doing here. Lizards are not social creatures. Mm-hmm. And iguanas, even though they look like they are, they're huddled together like this. How do I want to go full screen. Oh, here, that's how I put it in the timeline. There we go. We'll put in the timeline there. They huddle together, but this is a little dominance display. Shoot, did I trim it? I did. I've just ruined this. Here,
you
let's go here. As long as I'm showing it, I might as well go on and show it. This is a dominance display. Yeah, I know. I was trying to, but apparently I trimmed it somehow, which is kind of frustrating.
Now we just need to see the dominance display.
But now I just want to. Now I just want to show you the video. So this iguana here. See how he's doing the head bobbing? He's chasing these guys off. He says, "This is my beach." But watch closely. You'll see every once in a while a little sea spray coming out. Whoop! Did you see that? A little coming out of their nose. Whoa! You don't want to get too close to that.
No. Now if I start bobbing my head, I know.
See how they're running away? Yeah. And they know. It's not that they're huddled together. It's just that they climb over each other. And I guess they share warmth as they're cooking their seaweed in their giant sea iguana bellies. There you go. So, obviously, I haven't spent a lot of time yet with this, but it really looks to be the kind of the editor that you're going to want to use for all the features it has, including, look at this. This is the audio features. You can mix up to 6-channel audio. Mm-hmm. That is really, really sweet. This is probably everything you would need. You could do our show, for instance, on this on an iPad. Again, are you seeing a trend here? It really is getting to the point now where we can do everything we want to do on the iPad. Even you know, customize the layouts if you have a particular way you like to work. You want to see more clips or you want to see a bigger timeline. I think this is fantastic. And then once you're done, you can export it as a movie. You can export just the audio of the movie. You can save it as an archive. And you could send it to Dropbox, Box, Google Drive, OneDrive. You can AirDrop it. This is really sweet. I'm really looking forward to playing with this. On my next trip, I will do more video.
Luma, what is it called? Luma?
Luma Fusion from Luma Touch. And it is expensive. It's 20, I think, right? Yeah, 20 bucks. But, and by the way, you noticed iPhone as well, although I probably wouldn't want to do video editing on iPhone, but I guess it's nice in a pinch.
Yeah, my daughter does a lot of video editing on her iPhone.
Kids she's today.
Just, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, the audio, you can have multiple clips of audio. You can mix it. It's just, it really is a much more professional tool than iMovie.
Well, thank you for sharing your vacation photo.
You haven't seen the last of those.
But I just like the process.
I found a service. I printed a number of books. I printed a Google Photos book, so we'll see how that looks. And then I found a new service photographers called ZNO, and they claim that very nice quality printing. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to bring in the different books that I've ordered. Because this is the first time I've ever really had it organized. Lisa's very good about this. She'd take pictures. Each of us took 4,000 pictures over those 2 weeks. That means 8,000 in total. And she's very good. At the end of the day, she goes through all her pictures, picks the ones she wants, discards the rest. And I'm getting better and better at that. And tools like the tools I showed you today really make it a lot easier. And then, now I'm done. I can move on to the next thing. I have the images I want. I can either delete or archive the images so they don't fill up that I don't want. From other trips, I have all these out of focus images I know I'll never use, but I just never bothered or had took the time to go through. Okay, Zorro.
Twit.tv/iOS. Subscribe to the show. Leave us a comment where you can leave comments. And write to us at, you could just write to me, Megan@twit.tv. That's the best email address to ask questions.
Yeah. And we thank you for joining us. Remember, a new time if you want to watch live, 9 a.m. Pacific every Tuesday. That's noon Eastern time, 1600 UTC.
Except for next Tuesday because it's 4th of July.
And we won't be here because in the United States we celebrate our independence with fireworks. Mm-hmm. And we will be doing that on July 4th. But we'll be back on July 4th. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye. Throw it.